fresh shit.
You know it.
This is simple concept, let me talk my shit. They think they a problem, but the problem is not even one. No, no, not even one of you know I'm the goat, bitch. From the north, my winter coat, bitch. Call me Neo cause I'm so sick. Mom and papa, they was so strict. That's until they saw my show shit. Now they raise their fists like, go, bitch, go, bitch. You choose hate, I try joy. Proud of the coin that I earn. Yo boy wanna be my boy. Yo girl wanna be my girl. You should save me to your favorites and jot down my sight, Earl. You should know we in the matrix. Can we go? I got no patience. All my guys neck breaking, they know this a bop. On the mic test training, they know this my job.
I'm working.
All my ex type hating, they know this a swap. Still on our best behavior, they know it's a cop. Why? You on stay. Got you. I guess I'm the one to blame. I'm the one to blame. Cut the brake line. Come fuck with the waistline. Come fuck with the baseline. I don't walk in no straight line. Chillin' on the place same time. Come fuck with the waistline. The waistline.
Good morning. You are tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and for the next hour, listen, you're with me. And we have a lot to get to, so I don't know if you listen to this show normally, but I feel like this week is, I don't want to say it's made for Off the Beaten Path, but it is. It's like putting the ball like right on the tee. Listen, there's so much to get through today, and I know you guys want to hear it. But first, we always have to acknowledge that we are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory, including the territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Here, live from Pacific Spirit Park, the most western part of the Lower Mainland, right live from UBC's campus here at CITR. And we do this every Thursday from 7 to 8. If you've never listened to the show, this show is not only educational, it's informative, it can be funny. Sometimes we have guests on, sometimes it's just me. I love doing a show because I feel like you know, whether you're getting ready for work, maybe you're taking your kids to school, maybe you're at school already, maybe you're at a job that you're like, you know what, I need a break. I need about an hour break because my boss is an idiot and East is the only thing that helps me from putting my hands on him. Or maybe you're just at work and you're like, you know what, turn this on. Listen, everybody needs to hear this because there's going to be a lot of things we talk about today, as well as what we talk about mostly, like in most of the time, most weeks, that are both highly informative, sometimes pretty funny. Sometimes it's just a different perspective than you've already thought, or maybe you're the choir and I'm just preaching to it, you know? All in all, welcome. So, you know what we do here, but as soon as we start the show, we just like to understand just what is going on with the weather here. I think that it's like the most, I don't want to say it's the most important thing that happens, but I feel like the weather more than anything really dictates You know, just like how I move through my week, not just like physically how I move through my week, like whether I'm on foot or I'm on my bike, but just like, you know, how I feel as I am navigating. So if you listened last Thursday, you, or any Thursday, honestly, you know that like I have very little faith in what the weather actually says. Like the weather said last Thursday that we were going to have sunny day on Friday and then it was going to rain for the next 14 days in a row. And while it was sunny on Friday, it wasn't rainy for the next 14 days. It was rainy for like the next four and then it got sunny. Like yesterday was beautiful. I rode my bike to work. It was nice. And then today I think we should expect some rain. Except for today it says no rain. Tomorrow also no rain. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, rain. But I think that the weather, particularly when you get to the fall here, is something that you just kind of need to just go outside and see. Because while, like, I feel like every day is a 50% chance of precipitation. And you don't get points for being right. You just get points for being wrong. So I, you know, just try to bring it to you. Just trying to do my best. I know that you've come to listen to me. There's so much going on, particularly, but I know that what you've come to listen to me talk about is Justin Trudeau and his blackface, and we're going to get to that around the half point mark. I feel like that's like the part where we can tee it up pretty nice, because like when you, I think that there has to be a lot of thought that goes into, you know, formulating an opinion on what happened and then like what happened yesterday and then like what is that, what does it mean going in the future. And so I don't think you get any points for just jumping into it, but we will be talking about it. But first, you may know that the news here is dominated by housing, drugs, weed, and now it seems to be vaping. Like it seems to be that there is so many things that are going on. But a story that piqued my interest this morning on the CBC was just particularly about how, like a continuation of last week and the continuation of how lawmakers are looking at Juuls and other vaping products, particularly as it comes to teens. And so I've always, like, I think that I'm not like a big vapor. Like I have seen those people carry like those big metal dildo shaped smoking devices for, I feel like, years. I feel like people have been carrying them for years. And so and you see like the vape stores, and I don't know, it just never interests me. Maybe it's because I'm not like a smoker, so like I never needed to wean off of cigarettes. And I guess for decades, you know, people have been telling us how deadly cigarettes are, because there has been studies that show, you know, cigarettes linked to cancers. And so when these vape shops started popping up, even from an outsider, it felt like a safe alternative, like, you know, a way for people to get the whatever fix that they need without being, you know, exposed to those carcinogens that are, you know, in cigarettes, like the rat poisoning and, you know, all of those agents that they talk about, you know, that are put into the tobacco that make it actually really dangerous. And so I, like, who could have anticipated, you know, what just vaping would become? And it's very interesting because you see, like, I guess with the proliferation of Juuls and, you know, some of those other, like, Vype or whatever, you know, some of those other vaping pens, you see, like, that the usage of those has increased. And I guess they have become more appealing to teens because they, I guess, become smaller or cute or more fashionable or whatever. But it is but lawmakers are responding to, trying to get them banned. I feel like in the States, they banned flavored Juul pods, and now they're trying to do the same in BC. And because of people dying and people getting lung disease and respiratory illnesses from the vapes, and I'm like, what did you expect? Like, honestly, like, if you putting something that's artificial, particularly something that is created by the same cigarette companies that you are trying to get away from, like, of course they're going to be carcinogenic. Or I just have it hard to believe that, like, you know, people actually believed that these things were better for you. And I find it interesting because, I mean, six people have died in the United States from vaping-related illnesses, and thousands and thousands of other people have been hospitalized and become sick because of them. And I feel like if you've ever smoked, particularly if you don't, like, smoke the vapes all the time, if you've ever, like, smoked a vape, when you, like, hit it, you get, like, this knot in your chest. And I felt like that alone should tell you that it's probably not super healthy for you. It's not like when you're smoking weed or, you know, like you hit the bong or something like that, and it's like a cough where you can feel like this is high smoke, you know, entering my esophagus and, you know, my trachea and like causing irritation. No, this is like feels like you are inhaling some small particles of metal. And it's just, you know, it's very different. But anyways, after that, I was like, oh, this shit's probably dangerous for you. Like, I 100% figured that out. But I guess others, you know, did not, and particularly still felt it as a safe alternative. And so, one, now that you have been educated that it's not a safe alternative, I wonder if you'll see people stop. But I also wonder if you'll see people just go back to cigarettes, you know, like just go back to the devil they know. Because like I grew up and my mom was a smoker. And so like, you know, like smoking is not something that I guess like is always, like she never wanted us to smoke. So we didn't grow up smoking cigarettes either. But like it's like has been universally acknowledged that it's not like not a good thing. But if vapes are just as or more harmful than cigarettes, I wonder will people just go back to cigarettes? You know, like people, it seems like smoking is something that people are not going to stop doing. So I just wonder, like, what effect does that have on cigarettes? And it's very interesting because I think that vapes are particularly, I think they're just cheaper. They're like a cheaper alternative. So maybe that is another reason why people use them. It'd be interesting to see moving forward just how safe or unsafe vapes prove to be, and what next alternative will they come up to try to kill us. And so in addition to like vapes, there is an issue, particularly in the States, of people dying using fake and fraudulent, I guess, vape sources. So vaping in a large part is unregulated, particularly when it comes to weed oils or weed distillates, cannabis oils or cannabis distillates. And so what you find is that there's like illegal operations that are making these inputs, you know, to your vape pens. And so what they do is they cut whatever you're trying to buy with it, I guess that's nicotine or cannabis oil, with other chemicals to try to stretch their profits. And what that does is it actually puts people at risk because one, it's contaminated, and two, it's dangerous, and two, three, it's just like other chemicals that they're adding. These people are not effing scientists. They're making the shits in their, you know, garage or their basement or wherever, you know, and then selling them online or selling them to, you know, stores or what, but they're not safe. And so I guess it leads to, like, you know, in BC here, particularly we talk, there's a story on CBC about how the police presence in the downtown east side actually deters users and addicts away from safer injection sites, so away from safe injection sites, away from drug testing sites, and away from the assistance that exists within that area. And so sorry, I had a brain fart. It's just, so I think it relates to the idea that people are moving away, from these safe sites because of the over-policed areas in the downtown east side. And so, like I said, I think it relates to the idea that people need safe access to these substances, which they're going to use anyways. I feel like while those two issues have different roots, like, people needing a fix for nicotine and, marijuana, and addicts in the downtown east side needing safe injection sites, so that they do not, one, overdose and die, or two, harm themselves or others. We just need to make sure what we're putting in our bodies is as safe as it can be. And I don't feel like that is too much to ask. And I feel like that's something that's pretty feasible for the government, as long as they get out of the way of just demonizing the, vapes or, the opioids or whatever people are using, because it's by just having like a blanket, this is bad, statement, you're not actually helping people stay healthy or fixing the problem to begin with. And so that leads me to like another question and another interesting story I saw that has one that I've been wondering about for a while. So I am not a vegetarian or a vegan. Like, I like to eat meat, and I kind of find things that try to pretend to be meat as like blasphemous. Like, I don't mind eating tofu. Like, I cook tofu in my house. Like, I have eaten other soy based proteins or beans or anything else that's not like a black bean burger or whatever. Like, anything that's not actually meat. But I find it like very weird that people want meat without the meat. Like, they want like plant-based bacon and like plant-based burgers and plant-based, and just all of these things that are beyond meat. And so there's a story, and it just makes you, because it makes you think, because there's all so many different types of reasons why people don't eat meat, whether they're like environmentalists or they're just vegetarian. They don't think that meat should be in human diets. There's so many things, if you'd like to call in and tell me why you don't eat meat, the number is 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR. I promise I won't like shame you or anything of that sort. I just really want to know your reasons, because I find that there's so many reasons why people don't eat meat. Like, they look at the factories and they see the way chickens and cows are treated, or they see the way pigs are treated, or maybe they don't even look at the factories of pigs. They just see pigs on YouTube and think that they're very cute. So they're like, why would I eat one of those? And for me, I'm like, it's delicious. That's why I eat it. Like, yeah, a cow might be cute, but it's also delicious. So, that's it. There's nothing more to it. However, I guess in the past, like, year and a half, maybe 2 years, I've found that there has been a increase in the amount of Beyond Meat, like, vegetable meat-based options at not just, like, your grocery stores, but, at fast food restaurants. So, like, A&W has their own, Beyond Meat Burger. Tim Hortons has their own Beyond Meat Burger, which they're discontinuing in all provinces except for BC and Ontario. And I like you can surmise what that means to you, you know, between BC and Ontario. And then so, you know, there's lots of places with their own Beyond Meat Burger that, you know, I think McDonald's is developing a Beyond Meat Burger. So, you know, the market has really responded to this increased demand for meat substitutes. And so I think it's kind of similar to the Juul cigarette conversation. So, like, if you think of meat as bad and you think of, you know, real meat as cigarettes, so, you know, not just bad, but also bad for you, bad for the environment, bad for everyone around you. And so people are quick to turn to an alternative, you know, that kind of does the same thing what they're looking for. So it provides like that buzz, or, you know, you get your fix, you know, those are air quotes around the fix. So you get your fix from the Beyond Meat Burger, but we actually don't actually know how much better the Beyond Meat Burger is for us. Like, we know, like, the statistics about how much water it takes to, you know, how much water it takes to make, you know, 1 pound of chicken breast or 1 pound of beef. You know, we know that we can think about, like, the increased greenhouse gases that are affected, or, you know, maybe the just the effect on people's real life health that, you know, red meat increases the propensity for heart disease and, you know, other factors. But when you're looking at one of the Beyond Meat Burgers, you have to understand that it's like not just like it just doesn't sprout up as Beyond Meat. Like, this was created someplace in some factory that also used, you know, resources to be input. It also used, like, I think it's in this article, it talks about the average Beyond Meat Burgers has 19 different ingredients in it. And so not only does it have 19 different ingredients in it, but it has binding agents and it has chemicals and preservatives and all of these things that go into it that might not even go into your actual meat, because if you can, there are places where you can buy meat that doesn't have those things. So, you know, all of these things that you're putting in your body, and you have to ask yourself, you know, is this actually safer because of how processed it is for you? So, like, in, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, you could be seeing an increase in cancer rates, you know, or anything. You know, I'm not a scientist, so don't take my word for it. But, like, you know, there's so much, I feel like there's just as much risk in Beyond Meat Burgers as there is in Juul's, because it's just the idea that they've been marketed as safe and they've been marketed as better for the planet doesn't actually mean that's true. And it's hard to have a long-term study trying to identify, you know, just how good or bad it is for your body over long-term when they're pretty much brand new. So, I mean, personally, it's enough for me to stay away from Beyond Meat Burgers, just not knowing exactly what it is. And maybe just think that these Beyond Meat Burgers are probably made by the same people who also make your regular burgers. So in the same logic, if the cigarettes are made by the same people who make the Juuls, just think that maybe they don't have your best interest in mind and they just don't want to lose your dollar. When we get back, we are going to talk about an update from a story that we talked about a month ago and just how you can help.
Like plaques and all, go figure. Who you like racks and all, go figure. Who you like stacks and all, go figure. Can't talk facts and all, go figure. Who you like plaques and all, go figure. Who you like racks and all, go figure. Who you like stacks and all, go figure. Can't talk facts and all, go figure.
I'm seen it all from y'all for too long. Bought a new ass to match a new thong. Flat tummy tee with codes and coupons. Found out he don't got money, then moved on. Who you like racks and all, go figure. You won't ever see a Rhonda broke nigga. That separates home runs and no hitters. Even Kanye came out with Gold Digger. Gets wet, but the convo was dry the whole dinner. Sometimes I forget when I'm in her. Friends just can't respect that I'm with her. Can't talk facts or things that I'm into. Spend till she blew in the face, it don't end. It's all the same with her and her friends. Ain't her crib, her watch or her bands. Took one look again and then I said, who you like blacks and all, go figure. Who you like racks and all, go figure. Who you like stacks and all, go figure. Can't talk facts and all, go figure. Who you like blacks and all, go figure. Who you like racks and all, go figure. Who you like stacks and all, go figure. Can't talk facts and all, go figure. You settle down, how was it? In and out stores, pray a bad bitch want you and not yours. Picks on a grand flex in the time for. Might fuck up a check you for the encore. Hotel stays two for the top floor. A couple round trips on tour. A in the sex fifth top floor. Might talk, but it's only by the bag of the color of the tin on a brand new shades. Never by the goals of the plans you made. No lie, where the champagne and that man 2 Chainz. Gram shut down, nigga, out of business. Yeah, I know this girl about her fitness. Yeah. Half naked and she can't do squats. I guess she just wanna follow as the witness, I must say. Who you like plaques and all, go figure. Who you like racks and all, go figure. Who you like stacks and all, go figure. Can't talk facts and all, go figure. Who you like plaques and all, go figure. Who you like racks and all, go figure. Who you like stacks and all, go figure. Can't talk facts and all, go figure.
You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station, and I am your host, Issa Arian. The number to call in is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And we're back. And so a month ago, we talked about how there was someone who cut the gondola cable at the Sea to Sky, and the report came back that it was intentionally cut. I feel like that's something that we knew at the time. But they know how and what it was cut with, which I think is kind of amazing. But they don't let you know on how it was because they're still under investigation. They say they don't have any suspects right now, but I feel like it's, that's just like one of those things that's just like a matter of time before they find it out. And if you're the person listening to the radio show, listen, you don't have to turn yourself in. You know, like, I don't think that's a wise idea. But if you think you can do this type of shit and get away with it, you're mistaken. Because it's dangerous, man. And that's, you should plan people's lives. Honestly, I know you probably don't care about that, but like, just think about, some people times it's important to just think about the people out beyond your immediate self. And currently, we have no callers on why people want to call in and say why they don't eat meat, but the number is 604-822-2487, just in case you feeling froggy. And so the police here in BC have started to use drones, but they say that they won't be used for surveillance of the public. And my thought is about, well, if they're not going to be used to survey the public, then why did you buy the drones in the first place? Like, I kind of just don't understand. You know, like, they wanted to add drones to their arsenal for, you know, police operations, but they don't want to use them to survey the public. So, like, how are you going to use a drone if it's not for surveillance? Like, I kind of mostly feel like I don't have a lot of faith, particularly when it comes to law enforcement or when it comes to, you know, government agencies, particularly acting on the always with the best interests of the public in mind, particularly because they have their own agendas. And we see time from time and time again just how awful they can be. And so when you see something like this, you just can only think of the worst. Like, if, I'm just curious, like, it says, you know, so that they can investigate motor vehicle accidents, search and rescue operations, maybe crime scenes, disaster scenes. You know, fully committed to transparency within a policy of the use of the equipment and want Vancouver residents to understand when and how the equipment will be used. I think they should just make the drone footage publicly available. Like, as soon as the drone goes live, you should be able to watch the feed about what the police are actually seeing. I feel like that would be pretty useful. Also, I don't even know if I have enough faith that the police officers can safely fly a drone. Like, I have seen those things are hard, and and I have seen police officers blow through red lights. I saw a police officer yesterday speeding down 4th, and I didn't feel like there was any emergency. He just turned his turned his lights off as soon as he got through the light. And I feel like that's dangerous. And I feel like if police have, you know, oversight between, you know, not waiting at stoplights, then, you know, just who's policing, just how are they going to be using these drones? I don't think that's very safe. And so before we get into talking about Justin Trudeau and his what a shameful picture. Like, I'm just looking at it right now. It's like, this is absolutely shameful. We're gonna analyze that in a little bit, but I find to think that it's important that this story that was released yesterday goes beyond Trudeau, and I've actually been talking about it with a few friends, because when you're thinking about, I guess when thinking about Canada and Canada's like national brand in general, particularly as it is, it's always positioned as, you know, we do race issues better than the United States. Like, there's a little accountability for the issues that they have, here. Because it's easy to ignore when looking, you know, at the United States, which is, you know, almost 10 times as large. And so you can clearly point to instances where this is obvious. This is, you know, this is messed up. But Canada likes to whisper, you know, the things that they have done and how they have been trying to reconcile with the people in their own population. But I think this is not as, there's no more as evident as an issue here in Vancouver as a parent who had to take her daughters out of Lord Byng High School, which is right here in Kitsilano on 16th and Carnarvon. Anyways, let's get to the story. So a woman had to take her daughters out of Lord Byng because one of their classmates, a 14-year-old, recorded a video and I guess maybe shared it to a social media site, because I'm not really sure how everybody in this class got it, but they shared a video where he said, "I hate niggers and I hope all niggers die." He said, "I just want to line them all up and chuck an explosive in there," and goes kaboom. And he's speaking directly into the camera when he's saying this. And like, if you've ever listened to, played Xbox Live, or you played PlayStation Live, and you've played Halo or any other video game, you know that there's 14-year-old boys who say shit like this all the time. But I'm an adult, and so, like, you know, you playing online video games, you can just pretty much ignore these people because you really can't. There's nothing. There's no, like, discourse. You can't really do anything about it. However, when you're going to school with these people, it's different. And so that the way that the school handled this was basically to ignore that it happened in the first place. So the mother, even after a year after the video was uploaded, she hasn't received what she felt like, you know, an appropriate level of response from the school. So the school, you know, neither suspended the boy, they didn't, you know, expel him. They basically just allowed him to continue to go to Lord Bing, which one I feel like puts people it puts those little girls in whichever and however many other black kids or brown kids that go to Lord Bing, you know, particularly at risk of actual violence. Like, I find when you say I hate niggas and I want to blow them up, you are actually putting people in harm's way. And by not really disciplining this individual, what you're doing is showing that it's kind of okay. And, like, I don't actually know. I mean, he's a kid. So I particularly like to give kids the benefit of the doubt. But I feel like 14 is old enough to know not to say those types of things. However, knowing not to say those types of things isn't enough to not get expelled. Like, I knew that at 14. And so, like, you know, they're treating it as if it's a mistake. And you can't treat all instances of racism, particularly when it comes to something as graphic as saying I'm going to blow them up. Like, that's crazy that they didn't do anything about it. And so it's indicative of, I think, of how Canada really works and treats these things. It's, you know, it's, they don't have a framework for how to deal with these things. So, you know, it goes to ignore or really just try to, I don't want to say, like, you know, like, lessen the blow or relieve the relieve the tension, you know, by trying to make it easy for everyone involved. And so I see this all the time. You know, I work at a bar on the weekends. And so what you see in here is people say some wild shit to me. Like, it's not even, you know, it's just like the overt, like someone calling me a nigger, but like, I would say just the other day, it was just closing time and, you know, just getting ready to leave. And like, there's a few people who had been there for a while. So like, you know, I feel like over the night, if you've worked in, you know, hospitality or service industry, you know that you build like a relationship with somebody over the night, you know, throughout the night. You know, you're just like, you know, you're talking, it's high, you're getting them drinks, you're seeing if they're all right. You know, you're just like, you're just, you know, you're just building that relationship. And so as this woman goes to leave, like, she's with like a few of her friends, she goes, looks at me and says, bye to my favorite gangster. And I'm like, what the fuck is that about? Like, immediately. You know, because, like, you know, I felt like it was very nice. It was a cool time. Like, I didn't feel like, you know, there was anything particularly weird about this lady. But, like, when she said that, it was like, what? Like, why do you feel like that is something that you could say to me? Like, one, I'm just not a gangster. So, like, it's not like, you know, I'm not wearing, you know, I don't have, like, a Tommy gun. You know, I don't have, like, a pinstripe suit. I'm not, you know, I don't have, like, you know, anything that you would particularly think. I think I had a cardigan on that night. It was not, there's nothing. So, like, I mean, I know from, you know, living my life as a black person that when somebody says that to you, it's, like, a code for what they wish to say. Like, she wished she could say nigga or, you know, something of that sort. Like, it's a very coded. But also, it was very interesting to watch the response of other people as they reacted to my response, because my response was saying, like, hey, like, that's not cool, and I'm not going to make you feel better about that, you know, as she apologized and, you know, just said how she feels bad because I obviously called around. But people around us were looking for me to, you know, calm the situation by saying, like, you know, I forgive you, or just trying to move on from the situation. And my response is that, no, I don't have to forgive you, but you should, like, you allow it to feel uncomfortable, and you should feel uncomfortable because it's wrong. You know, like, that is not something you should be saying to people, or something you should even be thinking about, like, you know, because it shows, like, this underlying level of racism in people's mind, just how it just goes about in their mind without even being very conscious. And I find that when it comes to racism in Canada, particularly, I think in this instance, it's so unconscious that people don't want to acknowledge that it exists, because then it causes you to have to do some self-reflection about, you know, what exactly it is that you think, and how do you move around the world, and what do you even think about people or say about people before any action comes up. So, you know, while somebody might say like that is not, you know, overtly racist, like those situations do happen, and I find that they happen more and more. And so I could only imagine, you know, as a mother of these two people, these two children in school, you know, and not feeling that the school has done anything about it or acknowledged that this might be an unsafe environment for not only her daughters, but other, you know, kids of color, because this kid is in school, you know, and seeing that the school doesn't do anything, you know, it can be upsetting, particularly a year later, because this happened a year ago. And so it's just making the news again. And I find that it is interesting, you know, as it comes on the heels of Justin Trudeau and Justin Trudeau's blackface. So if you, brownface. So like, I don't know. When we get back, we are going to talk about Justin Trudeau and just maybe what he can do to make everybody feel better. Enough of that shit. That was, I don't know if you've heard this week, that was Marvin Gaye the Third's it was Marvin Gaye's son song, and I felt like we needed something a little bit more upbeat. And honestly, that's probably like the worst song, worst video I've ever heard in my life. I feel like if Marvin Gaye hadn't been shot by his dad, he would have died 2 days ago when that was released. Anyways, so getting back to Justin Trudeau. And so, I don't know if you've seen, but Time Magazine just released a photo of Justin Trudeau dressed in brown face. So wearing a turban and painting in black makeup for an Arabian Nights party at a West Point Grey private school. So a local Vancouver private school. And if you look at the picture, it is so, it's honestly weird just like how committed Justin Trudeau was to this Arabian Nights party. Like, I feel like there's an election coming up in a month here in Canada. So if you're not listening from Canada, or if you're listening from Canada, maybe you just never didn't know. But, you know, you guys got an election coming up. And so, like, I think that it's very interesting to see, you know, just like, what are the tactics that come out? Because obviously, clearly, for me, when I think about this, this was a political tactic that someone felt this would be the perfect opportunity for them to release a photo of Justin Trudeau, because this photo has existed for 18 years. And it is, it's so easy to, I think, to get the right answer for, you know, what's the right answers? This is, it's ridiculous, and it's ridiculously gross. And so what you see is there's a lot of Canadian politicians like Andrew Scheer from the Conservative Party, or Elizabeth May from NDP, you know, and Jasmine Singh from NDP. So you see all these prominent politicians talking about, you know, just how horrible it is. And it is horrible. Like, I can only imagine, you know, if our head of state, like, I 100% believe that there's definitely a picture of Donald Trump in blackface somewhere. Like, I don't know if it exists, but I could definitely see it exist. And I could also see it existing and nothing actually happening. Like, I feel like this has sparked a lot of conversations with me within, like, you know, my friend group, particularly about, you know, cancel culture and just blackface and racism, particularly here in Canada. Like, it encompasses all of those different things. And so, when you look at the picture, though, you see, like, that Justin Trudeau looks ridiculous. Like, I don't understand. Like, when you, like, is there, I don't know if how many white people listen to my radio show, but if there are any, you know, can someone call in and tell me, like, is this something that just people are doing that, or used to do, that people, that just, like, existed? Like, there's just people just did this? Like, I'm not really sure, because I find there's too many pictures of people in blackface or brownface to have it be, like, an accident or happenstance, because it feels like that there's, like, any prominent person has done this, and it's weird. Like, I, for all, like, the benefits and privileges you get for being white, like, I've never once wanted to paint myself white, which I think is ridiculous, because, like, you know, you see so many pictures of white people in blackface or brownface that it's like, you know that this isn't set up for, you know, us to, there's no privileges in that. So I don't know why you're pretending. But anyways, if you look at this man's hands, like, look in the picture and you look at his hands, he's so committed to the blackface that he even painted his hands dark, even with the ring on. So, like, he took the ring off, painted his hands dark, put the ring back on. Like, this man is committed to this. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, I find there's probably two ways out for Justin Trudeau. He can either come out and say he was, you know, this is happened in 2001. So he can either come out and say, like, you know, he was making fun of or trying to be Osama bin Laden, or you know, he can bring Drake out on stage, and maybe Drake can vouch for him, because Drake also donned the blackface, and that was released a year ago. And so, you know, Drake seemed to made it out on the other side. So maybe Justin Trudeau can as well. And I think that he will, because this sparked an interesting conversation with a friend about cancel culture and, like, what actually that is and how quickly people are to jump on something that happened a long time ago and use that, you know, as a way to judge people moving forward. And so I, like, agree, and I also very vehemently disagree with this individual. Like, I find that the premise of this person's arguments were just not good. But I do think that, you know, we do hold people to their past action or actions. And I think that we do it in a way that is fine for the most part. Like, I don't find that, one, I just don't think that there's a lot of people being canceled. Like, she used examples of people being canceled and brought up R. Kelly and Bill Cosby. I'm like, those people are in jail. They're not canceled. You know, Harvey Weinstein's in jail. You know, like, you know, it's different. Like, you know, but people who are actually You know, like I think Louis C.K., he was pulling his dick out and, you know, jerking off in front of people. Like, yeah, you should get canceled for that. Like, that's, you shouldn't be able to work around people where you might have a possibility to do that again, because honestly, nobody has, you haven't proven that you are trustworthy enough to not do that. You know what I mean? Like, I find that when it comes to canceling, it's oftentimes it's the benefit of the doubt is so low that the person has to just show that they have done a little bit of, you know, sensitivity training or, you know, acknowledgement of their mistakes that makes it easy for them to get back in the good graces of people. Like, we've seen with that guy from Saturday Night Live where he talks of, you know, using a racial slurs in a podcast towards Chinese people, and he just refused to apologize. Like, it wasn't the fact that he couldn't have continued on SNL. He just didn't apologize for it because he didn't feel like he had to. And that's like what, that's another privilege, is that, like, you know, there's some people who can, like, he could potentially become more famous because, one, he was a affirmative action hire trying to, the SNL cast trying to round out like a more conservative bent. So he wasn't even, you know, it was different for him anyways. And so, you know, him leaning into that conservative comedy nature can actually be more profitable for him. So he should be thanking SNL. However, let's get back to Justin Trudeau. He issued a statement immediately after this was released. I mean, he knew it was going to be released, so it wasn't like a blindside, but he issued a statement acknowledging the racism, the inherent racism in brownface, which is, I don't feel like, you know, you need me to go over and tell you exactly why it's wrong over again. But he also acknowledges, you know, how he's changed since then and how his views about racism has changed, and what he thought was racist back then is different than what he thought was racist now. And I would have to say that, like, in 2001, I'm pretty confident that donning black and brown face was still pretty racist. Like, I find that, like, I remember in 2007, we had, I went to Ohio University, and there was a MLK party, you know. This was not a Martin Luther King Jr. Acknowledged for all this civil rights and, you know, resistance party. This was a party by a frat that dressed up as gangsters, and, you know, so they wore basketball jerseys and, you know, basketball shoes and chains and do-rags and ate watermelon and fried chicken. Like, that was the type of MLK party this was. And people dressed as blackface as Halloween in 2007. And it was acknowledged that that was bad in 2007. And I feel like that 2001 was, you know, 2001 is not that far from then. So if, at the time, particularly being a teacher, I feel like he knew that this was not the right thing to be doing. So you don't really get too many points for saying that what I thought was racist in 2001, you know, is not racist in 2018, because it was still racist in 2001. It shows like a lack of judgment and foresight for, you know, for Justin Trudeau. And I find that, you know, this is not an uncommon theme, you know, in his reign as prime minister. I find that, you know, the lack of judgment, the lack of foresight is something that, it's showcased in other areas, you know, outside of just this blackface. And so it is, it's just kind of weird. It's just like how many white people actually want to do blackface and brownface. You know, it's really weird. Like, I think that since nobody's actually getting canceled for doing blackface or brownface, like, I think there was that there was a U.S. attorney general or some high in U.S. that was found out at a party who had been in blackface, and he didn't get canceled or anything like that. I find that maybe we should think about this in a different way. We should just have, like, you know, almost like a gun buyback program, where we say on a certain day you must release your blackface pictures or brownface pictures, And we make that like the final day that a black and brown face picture comes out that you can't be you can't be punched for, because people are not being punched for right now. And then anything after that, and if your picture comes out after that, we should set like a very serious punishment after that, because we could get this to stop a long time ago. Like, this picture had come out. This picture is old. I'm sure Justin Trudeau knew this picture existed. It was in the newspaper. Like, the school put this out, you know, the school put this out so that parents could see it, you know, on picture day or a school day or, you know, the monthly newsletter. Like, this is not something that was, you know, hidden or anything like that. So just one day we have, you know, let it out. Let's see your goofy ass pictures, you know, and then we can tell you about them. And then we can also see just like, one, who actually feels like that they've come a long way from that moment, and who, you know, is going to be caught up afterwards. Because I find that, like, you know, what we're seeing is that more and more often is things that we've already known, or things that particularly people of color have already known, is that people are racist and they have done racist things, even if they don't consider themselves to be racist. Because I find that, you know, this individual characterization of racism is kind of silly and trite. But, like, you know, because we think of the most powerful system of racism, particularly in Canada, you know, are these institutions that have been built to maintain, you know, a certain level of status for a particularly privileged level of people. So, you know, when it comes down to the individual, I don't think it really matters as much as the people with upholding these systems. And so, you know, get your individual, you know, racist blackface picture out, and we can shame you. But then we can talk about, one, why it's wrong, and then moving forward, we can punish the people. Because it's just so weird that this is something that seems to seemingly everybody has done. And something seemingly people are okay with, like people smiling in the picture with them are so weird. I think that if you look at the picture, the creepy way his hand is around it, I don't know if that's his wife or another woman, you know, around her neck. It's like, bro, what are you doing? You know, he's got those pictures with those individuals who appear to be Sikh, but I can't tell because maybe, you know, I don't know if those people are Sikh, but I'm looking at this dude at his hands, and the hands are the part that really bothers me the most. I just don't understand how thorough someone would be with that silly ass costume. When we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about these tubes. I'm just going to go to a short musical break, maybe a short commercial break.
What are you doing on Sunday, September 29th? Come down to the Vancouver Convention Center East Building to check out the Study and Go Abroad Fair. It's free, and it's a great opportunity to find out how you can boost your resume by studying abroad, working abroad, or learning a language. Come early at 12 noon to catch our feature seminar on scholarships. For more information, check online at www.studyandgoabroad.com.
Correction. Elizabeth May is the Green Party, not the NDP. Sorry. To you informed Canadian voters, listen, get out there and vote. So before we get out of here, we talked a little bit about how the salmon were having issues traversing a mudslide of 2 weeks ago, and so how there were only 650,000 salmon when there were supposed to be an estimated 6 million salmon coming over the ridge, and then how they were trying to find, you know, different ways to make, you know, make it happen, to make it safe, you know, for the salmon. And one of the things that they were doing was putting them in the tube and trying to just, I guess, you know, pressurize them, push them over the mountain. And so there is a U.S. company that is trying to create a pressurized tubes that will move people at 400 kilometers per hour through the tubes. And I can say that I saw that it didn't work for the fish. And so I don't know how this is going to work for humans. Honestly, this scares the shit out of me. And you guys should look it up, because I have a fear that we're going to innovate ourselves out of the world. And with that, I'm out of here. Listen, go check out. There's some film festivals coming up here in Vancouver. There's so much art going on. It's a beautiful time of the year. It's fall. Go check out SFU football this weekend. I got some friends playing, and they need all the support that they can get. All right, I'm out. Till next week. Goodbye.